We are finishing up a sermon series today in the book, well, about Elijah, about this character in the Bible named Elijah. And we have had two great sermons from Pastor Jared and Minister Ben, Pastor Ben, which one is it? So, thank God they have set the foundation, and so I'm charged with finishing it up today. And so, if you can, as we normally do, let's stand for the reading of God's word. If you can, as you stand, turn to 1 Kings. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read verses 19 through 21 to get us started, but we're going to look at this 19th chapter and see where we find the prophet Elijah now. And so 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, when you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right. The word of the Lord found in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 19th verse, it reads as such. It says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first, allow me to go and kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back. But he says, what have I done to you? So Elisha returned to the oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around meat to the town's people, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his servant. If we can we go ahead and put our mission statement on here? Can we read this with all the excitement that you could come up with today? On three, one, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, God. We thank you for this scripture, God. We thank you for this sermon series that we are embarked upon as we look at the life of such a great man of God, Elijah. God, I pray that this word today, God, that we find in Elijah, God. God, that this word falls on the good soil of our hearts. Not on the stony places, not on the rocky places, but God, let this word fall on the good soil of our hearts. That this word, God, may bring back a harvest. God, that we might see and do and be everything that you called us to be, God, as we follow you. And so, God, I have one request and one request only, and that is, God, that you wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so we just thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You can be seated. The kids have already been dismissed. The marketing team for Allstate Insurance has come up with probably one of the most prolific and memorable commercials that I've ever seen. Allstate uses this actor, his name is Dean Winters, and he plays this diabolical and destructive character who goes by the name Mayhem. And Mayhem's only purpose is to wreak havoc on people's property and their lives. And you see Mayhem in different situations, in everyday situations that we face as homeowners, as car owners, as boat owners, people with property. You see him show up, and it's in situations that we are very familiar with, such as if you're on your way to school and you're parking a car to let the kids out, and the kids have just been creating all kinds of havoc, and you're trying to get them to calm down as they get out of the car to rush off to school, and you not paying attention, you're still fussing at the kids, and you press the gas and you turn off, and boom, there's an accident. Havoc. It's mayhem. And then there's this one where you're just sitting at the house. And of course, it's a rainy day, and it's raining like cats and dogs. And you're sitting there watching TV, and the roof just caved in. Just mayhem. He causes distractions when you're driving. He has you watching all kinds of signs, and the next thing you know, boom, it's mayhem. And what Allstate is trying to show us is that you never know what may happen that will cause havoc in your life. And this is where we find the prophet Elijah. As we look at this 19th chapter of Elijah, it's not a 19th chapter of Elijah. The 19th chapter of 1 Kings, we see Elijah is facing a mayhem of his own, but instead of her name being Mayhem, her name is Jezebel. Her name is Jezebel. And if you look at the first verse of chapter 19 in 1 Kings, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done." And so as we learned last week, Elijah was faced with the prophets of a god named Baal. And Elijah embarrassed the prophets of Baal. And so afterwards, Ahab runs home and he tells Jezebel everything. And I don't know if Jezebel gets a bad name or what, but you know, I got to tread lightly here. Some ladies just have a takeover spirit. All the men are looking at me. They're not looking at their wives. They're like, I'm not saying anything. And so I'm going to I don't know why God appointed her to take over, but Jezebel takes over. And look at what she says. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah And she says this. She says, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, what Jezebel is telling, what she sends word to Elijah, and she tells Elijah this, Elijah, on everything I love, on everything I love, if I don't do to you what you did to those prophets, she says, by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like one of them. What she's telling Elijah is this. Elijah, I'm coming after you. Elijah, I'm going to wreck your life. Elijah, I'm going to cause so much havoc in your world. And I said I wasn't going to say this because I don't want to get in trouble, but man, have you ever been chased by a woman, scorned? Y'all, please don't send me no emails. I'm not sexist or anything. I'm just saying. And, you know, I'm saying this because I've experienced, and I'm not even talking about in a romantic situation. Because, see, I done had windows knocked out of my car. I done had notes scratched on my door. I know all that. That's romantic stuff. But y'all say, for real? I don't think, I tell guys all the time, you won't appreciate a good woman until you done had a bad one. And you see why I stick closely to Tanya? Because I done had my car scratched. I done had my windows knocked in. I done had, I mean, yeah. So anyway, back to the story. I'm starting to get the shakes. Yeah. So Jezebel is after Elijah. And here's the thing that, and she's after Elijah, after God has just shown up tremendously. I mean, God has rained down fire from heaven. And God has shown himself to be the God of gods. He's shown himself that there is no other God except me. But here's what I want to tell us today is this. Is that sometimes after our greatest moments comes our greatest challenges. Can anyone else attest to that? After you, when you think that, man, you've achieved, man, you have graduated school, I mean, you graduated on time, I mean, everything is just going good, and then you get some news. You just come back from celebrating your whatever anniversary, you had a great time on vacation, and you come back home and sometimes after our greatest moments, and sometimes after God has shown up in the most miraculous way, on the other side is something else waiting on you. And so we find the prophet Elijah, it says in the third chapter, the third verse, it says after he got word from Jezebel, look what the prophet did. It says in verse 3, it says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets that have ever walked the face of this earth, The text tells us that Elijah was living a life now on the run. That Elijah fled for his life. And for some of us, we live life on the road, afraid to face the challenges that God has put before us. For some of us, our first inclination when we come up against challenges, when we come up against opposition, our first challenge is to do what? Is to run. And I know what you're saying. Well, I don't actually get up and run. Yes, but you run in your mind. Or you run to, at what you will do is because you are afraid and because you are alone, it will cause you to run. But how we run is we stop coming to church. We stop communicating. We turn off our phones. We don't return text messages. We don't answer emails. We run when life's biggest challenges are on the horizon. And this is not just no ordinary guy here. This is Elijah, who had just called down fire from heaven. And now we find him going from calling down fire from heaven to now a life on the run. The text says that Elijah fled for his life and went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Elijah says, "I've had enough, Lord." Have you ever felt while you're serving, while you're in church, while you're doing everything the right way? Have you ever just come to this point to where you just say, like Elijah says, "Lord, I've had enough"? Anybody else here have ever felt like, "God, I've had enough"? I see your hand. Man, and what is it about church people? Church people can make you raise both hands and say, "Lord, I'm through. I'm finished. Lord, those are yours. You deal with them. I'm going home. I'm going to go to the couch. I'm going to get me some ice cream. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to just watch TV. Lord, they can have this." They don't ever show up to what I do. "God, we can do all of this planning. God, I've been praying. I've been fasting. I show up on time every Sunday, but everybody else is always late. God, I've had enough. I've cooked all this food, cleaned up my house to have a life group at my house. Or God, I prepared all Sunday for a discipleship class, God, and God, only one person shows up. God, I've had enough." Anybody ever feel like that? That you just had enough? And he says, he's so far, he says, "Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Man, I didn't even tell y'all the title of my of the sermon, the title of the sermon today is this, is Help is on the Way. I know when you feel like you have had enough, when you feel like that you can't go another further. I know that don't sound good, but man, it's sometimes it just feels like that. Lord, I can't go another further. But Elijah is afraid and he is alone. And not only is he alone, but the text tells us in verse 9, it says that then he came to a cave where he spent the night. And can I share with us today, some of us, we are not only afraid and we're not only alone, but we run to these dark places in our mind. We run to these caves in our minds. And what is a cave? A cave is a solitary place to where you voluntarily go into and you sit there all alone. And most of the times, the caves are what? Dark. But see, these are not the kind of sermons that's going to have you jumping and shouting, but these are the kind of sermons that are going to help you when you find yourself in a cave, because it's okay to get there, but the question is, don't stay there. All of us get there. All of us feel alone. All of us feel tired. All of us feel afraid. All of us have had enough, but here's what I come to tell you today. When you find yourself in those deep, dark caves, don't stay there. And God even understands this, because look in verse in chapter 9 and in chapter 13, God asks Elijah this. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Two times God asked Elijah that question. Elijah, what are you doing here? And what God is saying, he's not asking him what he's doing there, because he knows where he is. He's not talking about the place. He's not talking about the physical place. He's talking about, Elijah, what are you doing here in your mind? Why? How did you get to this place? Elijah, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you serve? And that's like the majority of us today. God can do a great thing over here, and when the next thing come up, it takes us to a dark place. But we forget about what God has just done. This man has just called down fire from heaven and shown and participated in one of the greatest things that God has ever done, and we find him now in a deep, dark, lonely place, afraid. And that's like the majority of us. And I'm going to ask you, just like God asked Elijah, what are you doing there? What are you doing in this state of perpetual depression? What are you doing in this state of perpetual anxiety? What are you doing in this place where you allow the circumstances and the situations and you let other people impact your relationship with God? What are you doing there? Because don't you know the God that we serve? But first of all, do you know who you are? That you was bought with a price. That Jesus Christ gave his life for you. That you could have life and that you don't have to, you can get to those places, but you don't have to stay there. And you don't have to run and hide. What, man, and I'm jumping ahead, but here's the thing. When we find ourselves in those situations, what we should do is we should not run from God, but we should run to God. And see, this is what church is really about, is equipping you, equipping us to know how to deal with these dark situations that we face. Because everybody can handle a good time. Everybody can handle when everything is paid, when your wife is happy. She just come from shopping, so you know she on cloud nine. She just got two pair of shoes, which she actually got four. You just didn't know about the two that came in the, yeah, so you know, everything is good, wife is good, kids are acting all right. I mean, they haven't called and asked for nothing on today. I mean, everybody can handle that. But how do you handle when all heck break loose? How do you handle when you're being challenged and pursued? Most of us, we want to fold up. But I'm telling you, we don't have to fold. Here it is. When we run to God, when we run to God, it's like God is just standing over there, and he's God, and here we are right in the center at this intersection, and when life comes at us, we choose, are we going to react or respond? And either way, God has us. But when we turn and run to God toward the problem, I mean, when we turn and run to God with the problem, God, here's this problem that I'm bringing to you. God moves. We just sung the song, I Believe. Do we really believe, or is it still just a song in our hearts? But do you believe that God can do the impossible? Do you believe when you have a Jezebel or a Ahab chasing you and trying to kill you, trying to kill what God has called you to do, trying to kill your joy, trying to kill, steal, and destroy, are you going to run to God with the problem? Or are you going to run away from God with the problem? Because when we run to God, he moves. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says this. It says, then the Lord told him, Elijah, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. He says, and when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And he says, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel something, to replace you as my prophet. And he says, anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu. And those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Then he says, yet I have preserved 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Here's the thing, Connect Church. God, when we run to God, God has people designated and assigned to help you. That's gonna go over someone's head. I know, I see it in your eyes. You're like, what? Believe me, when we run to God, God has people designated to help us. Okay? You don't believe me. We as Connect Church, we have been having church services since COVID. And there have been people that have come to this church that don't even know why they came to this church, but God had appointed and anointed them and designated them to come to Connect Church even before they came. Ooh, that just went over somebody's head. I'm going to say it again. We have church service here every Sunday. We've been praying for God to send people from the north, south, east, and west. We've been praying, God send people. God, we want to impact people. God, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. When we make that confession, when we make that prayer, do you know that God is touching people's hearts to come to Connect Church who didn't even know we existed? Somebody was watching us on Facebook and decided to come. Somebody saw an Instagram post or saw something and they was like, oh, I think I'm going to go to that church. Out of all of the churches in the area, what would make a person on their phone scrolling see a church and say, I like how they sing. I like the word. Man, those look like some friendly folks. And when I ask people why they came, they say, well, I had been driving around for a while. Y'all ain't getting this. See, the Bible says that God is an ever-present help in what? In our time of need. And so when we run to God, he moves. And how he moves is God has people already set up and assigned to help us. Okay, I'm going to have to teach on that later. But... So the prophet Elijah, let me see if I can track with me. So we find the prophet Elijah, the 19th chapter, first verse. Jezebel is after him because of what he's done. She sent word to him that she was going to kill him. Elijah prayed, God, and he told God when he was in the cave, he said, God, I don't have nobody else to help me. God, I feel like I'm alone. When he goes to God and obeys God, look what God did. It says, then the Lord told him not to go someplace new. He says, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, Elijah, anoint Hazael. God anointed Hazael to help Elijah. Man, I thought y'all was going to be a good class today. Y'all are making me work too hard. It's Cowboy Sunday. I don't need to work this hard. Then he said, then anoint Jehu. And so what I'm saying is we got to understand that we're not alone. as all we're going to do for God, we have to understand when we are alone and when we're ready to give up, when we're ready to throw in the towel, that God is with us. And that God has people designated to help us. But we have to first believe it's so. Because if we get into this woe is me mentality, why do I have to always serve every Sunday? When's God going to send somebody to help me? But when we come in here joyful, when we come in here knowing what we know, God is going to move. Amen? And so not only has God sent people, not only does God have people designated to help us, but look at verse 19. Verse 19 says this. It says, so Elijah went and found Elisha. So God told him two verses up. He says, go and anoint Elijah. Now he goes and he finds Elisha. And when he finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat, he finds him plowing a field. And he finds him with 12 oxen on the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th. Now here's what I want you to see. God has already anointed Elisha to help Elijah. Are we all on the same page? All right. Elijah needs help, so he appoints Elisha to help him. Elijah goes to find Elisha, and he finds him already busy. Elisha is in a business. He's in the family business. His family has oxen, and his family has land. Elijah goes and finds Elisha, and he doesn't even ask him, hey, are you the person? Hey, can I ask you a question? Did you know that God, that he anointed you to help me? No. Elijah does this. He takes off his cloak, which is his mantle. And I love what the text says. The text says that he doesn't even get close enough to drape it over his shoulders. The text says that he throws it on him. That he just like, here, you take that. I'm tired. It's yours. Have you ever been serving in an area and somebody new shows up and you say, here's everything, God bless you. It's yours now. That's the image that I see in my head when Elijah sees Elisha. He's like, "Ooh, finally, somebody else that I can just give this to. Here, you take this, I'm gone." And the text says that Elisha turns and he walks away. What am I saying today, Connect Church? When we find ourselves alone and feeling frustrated in serving and doing what God has called us to do, the thing that you see the prophet Elijah do is this. He follows God's instructions. We must follow God's instructions. And I know I kind of went long in this, but because this is our 19th year I felt compelled today to really to try to encourage those who are serving and are serving hard and are doing everything that God has called you to do. You're showing up with a great attitude, you're showing up on time, and you are giving God everything that you have. But sometimes it gets hard. And sometimes we do get weary. But I just wanted to encourage us today to just keep going. But as we're going, though, we must follow God's instructions. And God's instructions to the church is to make disciples. Those were the final words that Jesus left the church. And what I'm asking us to do today as a church is let's continue to follow God's instructions of making disciples. And when we follow God's instructions, others will follow us. That's all I came to say today. I said all of that to just say that one sentence there. Is that when we follow God's instructions, others will follow us. And God is going to send people. God is going to send people. I promise you. God is going to send people that's going to come alongside of us and help us do what God has called us to do. All of them aren't here yet, but they're coming. They're coming. And God is going to continue to show up and do things for us. I mean, there are some big things that are coming that, man, I'm telling you, it's just, I can even begin to whenever I think I know where God is taking us and how we're going to get there. Well, I know where, but it's like that how, and I'm always trying to figure it out, but instead of trying to figure it out, all I'm gonna do is just follow God's instructions. Just follow God's instructions. And that's what we see with the prophet Elijah. And God is going to send people who are going to have that same plow burning faith that Elisha had. Elisha burnt the plows. That's faith. And that's the kind of faith that is going to take, and those are the kinds of people that God is going to send us. And so, as I close, I just want to encourage us today, those who are partners with Connect Church. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, God, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, trying to take this Old Testament principle, this Old Testament character, God, Elijah, and to show our church, God, that you haven't forgotten us, that help is on the way. And so, God, I pray a prayer of strength for the people here at Connect who continually to serve, God, and serve with vim, vigor, and vitality. God, that show up every Sunday, every Tuesday, every time the doors open, God, with such a joyful smile on their face. And knowing, God, that they have issues going on in their own lives, but they continue to come and pour into others. And so, God, I just thank you for for strengthening us, encouraging us, holding up our arms, God, when we get weary, keeping our hearts and minds intact, God. As we come to this place called a church, God, where all of us are hurting, all of us need help. And God, thank you for those times, God, when someone says something the wrong way, that, God, that we don't take offense and we don't make offense our first option. But God, we come to you, God, and ask you to help us. So if you're here today and you have not made the decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, because if you haven't, you probably don't understand how or why a group of people would come together and serve God with everything that they have. And it's because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And so if you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. So if you're here, all I want you to do, we're going to have some people down front that are going to come, and they're going to pray with you. And all you have to do is just tell them that I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they will walk you through it. And so as they come, and then if you're here today and you are starting to get weary in your serving, if you need somebody to just pray with you, to encourage you, at this time I want you to come down. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to whisper softly in your ear and tell you that God got you. That God is an ever-present help in the time of need. And so if we could all stand as the prayer team comes down, as the deacons come down. So just take a few minutes and ask God to just refresh your heart, refresh your spirit, because we still have work to do. So if that's you and you need encouragement, you need somebody to pray with you, or if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come down front. We would love to pray with you today.